Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
With 79 days until the Rio Olympics, there's the very real possibility that dozens of athletes and an unknown number of national federations could be banned from the Brazil Games because of doping violations. The International Olympic Committee says up to 31 athletes could be kicked out of Rio 2016 following retesting of doping samples from the Beijing Olympics in 2008. The IOC has also ordered retests from the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, and the 2012 Olympics in London. The athletes have not yet been identified, as tests of second samples are pending. During a teleconference Wednesday, IOC President Thomas Bach said all those implicated, whether federations or individual athletes, would be sanctioned.
Should the allegations be proven true, then we will apply our zero tolerance policy, not only with regard to the athletes, but also with regard to everybody implicated and within our reach. After the establishment of the facts, we will act decisively based on those facts as part of our zero tolerance policy and as part of our top priority, the protection of the clean athletes.
International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach also talked about possible sanctions for those involved in taking performance-enhancing drugs.
There again, we are clear, and we said if these allegations are true, we will hold everybody responsible who is implicated. There is different kinds of actions are possible. This could be a lifelong ban for any implicated person. That means not only athlete or the immediate entourage. Everybody implicated would be held responsible and could be banned from Olympic bans. There could be financial sanctions on the organizations involved. This could include the acceptance of a suspension or exclusion of entire national federations.
That's International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach speaking Wednesday during a teleconference from IOC headquarters in Lausanne, Switzerland. Russian athletes have been at the heart of the Olympic doping scandal. The country's track and field athletes are currently under suspension as the result of an investigation into widespread allegations of doping, and their participation at the Rio Olympics is in doubt. Last week, the New York Times newspaper reported that Russian anti-doping experts and members of the intelligence services secretly broke into tamper-proof bottles. And the newspaper report said the Russians replaced urine samples tainted by performance-enhancing drugs with clear urine collected months earlier. The sunny side of sports remembers Waldemeskel Kostre, the Ethiopian distance running coach who trained Olympic champions Haile Gebrselassie and Kenenisa Bekele. The 69-year-old Kostre died Monday at age 69 in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa. The cause of death was not announced. The International Association of Athletics Federations says Kostre was considered by many to be the architect of Ethiopia's phenomenal success at the longer distances from the mid-1980s onward. But Kostre started coaching before that. In fact, he began as an assistant coach at the 1972 Munich Olympics, and he worked with Ethiopia's best athletes up until the 2008 games in Beijing. Kostre was a promising middle distance runner himself before studying sports science in Hungary during the 1960s. Among those paying tribute was Haile Gebrselassie, who said Kostre had been ill for a long time. Haile added, "He was a very strict man, but he showed me how to behave. He gave discipline a top priority. It's very sad he has now left us."
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
More Olympic news now on the VOA. Kenya recently named its team for the men's and women's marathons in Brazil in August. The Olympic women's marathon is scheduled for Sunday, August 14th in Rio de Janeiro. And the Olympic men's marathon is scheduled for 1 week later, August 21st, the last day of the Rio Games. Kenya's Olympic men's marathon team is led by a man who has won an Olympic silver medal and an Olympic bronze medal at a shorter distance, 5,000 meters. And after winning the London Marathon last month, you might say this Kenyan athlete has his mind in a pretty good place ahead of the Rio Olympics.
The mind is good. It's better for the body to get tired than the mind. Because to actually to cure the mind is really a big work. It needs a psychologist to talk to you. But if the mind is all right, then you are in the right direction. For me, if the mind is okay, I'm working well.
That's Eliud Kipchoge, who in addition to winning the London Marathon this year, won the London and Berlin Marathons in 2015. Eliud won the Rotterdam and Chicago Marathons in 2014. And he also won the Hamburg and Berlin marathons in 2013. So you might say Eliud has had a nice streak of marathon success the past few years. And because of that, Kipchoge will lead Kenya's Olympic marathon team to Rio, as we hear now from reporter Mark Ouma.
Eliud Kipchoge and Stanley Biwott, who clinched a 1-2 triumph at the London Marathon, will head Kenya's gold medal charge in the marathon at the Rio de Janeiro Olympics, Athletics Kenya revealed in Nairobi. Kipchoge and Biwott, who is also the New York City Marathon champion, are the only athletes to have run a sub 2 hours and 4 minutes marathon this year. They are joined by Wesley Korir, the Kenyan Member of Parliament for Cherangany in Western Kenya. He was fourth at the Boston Marathon. Korir looks set to become Africa's first sitting member of a national assembly to be an active competitor at an Olympics. Meanwhile, the Kenya women's marathon team consists of London marathon champion Jemima Sumgong.
Olympic is also a major marathon like this one of London, so I must go with what I did so that I can excel like the way I excel in London.
Paris marathon champion Viseline Jepkesho and the world championship marathon silver medalist Hella Kiprop.
Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was coming out of Frankfurt, Maine. I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Singing, come back.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Wednesday night, when the defending champion Golden State Warriors host the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. The Thunder rallied from a 13-point halftime deficit in Game 1 and beat the host Warriors in Oakland, California, 108-102. All-star guard Russell Westbrook scored a game-high 27 points for Oklahoma City, including 19 points in the third quarter. The Warriors were virtually unbeatable on their home court during the regular season when they won an NBA record 73 games. But with their Game 1 triumph, the Thunder proved this could be a very long and very competitive best-of-seven-game series. Meanwhile, the Eastern Conference Finals tipped off Tuesday night, and LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers showed they're ready for a return to the NBA Finals. Our VOA basketball fans will remember, last year, LeBron and the Cavs lost to the Warriors in the NBA Finals, 4-2. On Tuesday night, the Cavs crushed the Toronto Raptors by 31 points, 115-84. It was the largest playoff win in Cleveland club history. LeBron led the way, scoring 24 points and adding 6 rebounds and 4 assists in just 28 minutes on the court. In fact, the Cavaliers were in such command that LeBron spent the final quarter on the bench cheering on Cleveland's reserve players.
The Cavaliers looked refreshed after a 9-day break from their last playoff game. And speaking of nine, Cleveland is the first team to start the NBA playoffs with 9 consecutive wins since San Antonio reeled off 10 in a row in 2012. J.R. Smith scored 5 points for Cleveland on Tuesday night. Speaking in the locker room after the big victory, J.R. said good team defense was one of the keys to the win.
I mean, I think it's just the way we play defense. We played very well in the first half, but not up to par as far as the starters. Third quarter, we did a much better job, but our second unit did a hell of a job. Ever since, I think it was the Detroit series, and C-Lou switched up, Bron and Kyrie coming, playing with the first and second unit, and ever since he's did it, our second unit has been pretty good. So, our credit, this today's game has to go to the second unit. We did an unbelievable job.
The Cavaliers also did a very good job keeping Toronto's all-star point guard Kyle Lowry in check. Lowry was coming off a big game against the Miami Heat in the last round of the NBA playoffs when he scored 35 points, but the Cavaliers held him to only 8 points on Tuesday night. J.R. Smith talks about Cleveland's defensive strategy against Lowry.
I mean, just try to mix it up on him, go over, go under on screens. Kyle really did a hell of a job. And then with Sean Adele getting the game, they always do a tremendous job. So just try to switch it up. Don't try to be too predictable on him. And be physical with him at the same time.
Game 2 in the Cleveland-Toronto series will be Thursday night in Cleveland, Ohio. In other NBA news, the Philadelphia 76ers have won the number 1 overall pick in the league's draft lottery, which determines the order of selections in the annual NBA draft. The 2016 draft will be held June 23rd at Barclays Center Arena in Brooklyn, New York. That's the home arena of the NBA's Brooklyn Nets Club. Philadelphia had the NBA's worst record during the regular season after finishing with 10 wins and 72 losses. As a result, they had the most ping pong balls in the draft lottery hopper, and they also had the highest percentage, 25% for those keeping score, of landing the top selection in the draft. The Los Angeles Lakers will pick 2nd next month, followed by the Boston Celtics, Phoenix Suns, and Minnesota Timberwolves to round out the top 5. The Timberwolves, as VOA social media reporter Andrew Palcheski told us earlier this week, have had the past 2 NBA Rookies of the Year, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. And speaking of Andrew, he joins us again here in Studio 22. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, speaking of the NBA draft lottery, Dikembe Mutombo, of course, very famous NBA player, tweeted out yesterday. He said, congrats to the Sixers on grabbing the number 1 spot in the NBA draft. Of course, he used to play for the 76ers, one of the few teams he played for. The only problem with this tweet is that he sent it before the lottery had happened.
Uh-oh.
So you actually had Joel Embiid, who is plays on the Sixers, a former Kansas player, tweeted out Dikembe Mutombo's comment on Twitter, retweeted it, and he just wrote hashtag what? And then, of course, a couple hours after Dikembe Mutombo tweeted this, we found out that indeed the Philadelphia 76ers got the first spot in the draft lottery. So Dikembe Mutombo had to tweet out, he said, sorry guys, got excited about the Sixers odds and got ahead of myself. And then sure enough, they got it. So there are tweets galore about this. Everything from, I want Dikembe Mutombo to do my psychic reading, to, what can he tell us about the future? Does he know how many games Tom Brady's actually going to be suspended? Bringing in American football and Tom Brady's Deflategate suspension. And people even saying, maybe there's a conspiracy theory here that Dikembe Mutombo knew this ahead of time. Maybe
the fix was in.
Maybe the fix was in, but He's having to defend himself. He said, no, I just jumped the gun. I didn't mean to cause any trouble. But a lot of conspiracy theories abound as a result of those tweets.
I think from a justice standpoint, though, Andrew, it's kind of fair that the 76ers, after their awful season, would get the number one pick. But maybe we're not quite sure how they got it.
Well, that's what the fans are. As you mentioned, the 76ers had the best odds to get the number one pick. So fans of the 76ers are saying, well, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It wasn't like it was, you know, 1,000-to-1 odds and he predicted this and this happened. It was likely to happen, or at least more likely for them to get it than the other teams involved in the draft lottery. But it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes you jump the gun on social media and it can become a little bit of a controversy, but a little bit of a fun one. A nice little back and forth between Joel Embiid and Dikembe Mutombo, and a nice back and forth between the fans about the psychic readings of Dikembe Mutombo.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners, you don't need a psychic. Just point your browser to facebook.com/VOA Sunny and check out my Facebook page. And my Twitter handle, let me touch my, what is it? Was it Karnak that used to do that, Andrew?
With the envelope.
Yeah, the envelope. Put my envelope to my forehead. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. So send me a tweet if you're listening this evening. Ask me what, ask Andrew too, what you think about Dikembe Mutombo's psychic ability with that NBA draft lottery. Another big NBA story, Andrew. I mentioned this big playoff win by LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. 31 points last night over the Toronto Raptors. Are LeBron and the Cavs trending out there in the social media world?
They are, but to borrow Johnny Carson's, here's my answer, and then I'm going to read the question out of the envelope. So my answer is other, and I'm going to open up the envelope now, read the question, and it's who will win the NBA championship? Now, I say other because CBS Sports made this mistake on their website. They had a little poll, and they said, who will win the NBA championship? And they listed four options: the Warriors, the Thunder, the Cavaliers, and other. They didn't put the Raptors in there. So the Raptors, you know, Toronto Raptors fans kind of seized on this and said, you know, okay, we're the other, we're going to embrace that. And their big hashtag and slogan on social media is hashtag we the North. So they have now adopted hashtag we the other.
We the other.
So they photoshopped some of their logos and things that say we the North to say we the other. So they really embraced that, CBS's mistake. CBS ended up changing that poll, but they really ran with it and said, okay, if we're going to be the other, then we're going to embrace that. We're going to run with that and be the other, we the other. And a lot of fans said, well, maybe this will be what we need to kind of boost our morale and get us over the hump and win against Cleveland. And then sure enough, Cleveland wins by 31 points. So we the other maybe hasn't taken off as well as they would have hoped, or at least hasn't translated to their players doing well. I think they acted a little bit like the other last night, but remains to be seen how they'll do. But it's, you know, one of those, again, fun little social media stories, how a mistake became kind of a rallying cry for these fans. Said, okay, we're going to embrace this. We're going to run with it. They, like I said, their players have yet to run with it on the court, but it's still a whole series yet to play.
Andrew, during Tuesday's show, you mentioned how LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers superstar, has a new possibly billion-dollar contract with Nike. Has LeBron maybe given us any details about his bank account?
Still being very tight-lipped, and I'm not totally surprised because a lot of times with these endorsement deals, athletes are barred from talking about how much they are making. In fact, when we talked about Bryce Harper signing a deal with Under Armour, they didn't give really any specifics of that deal. We just know that it's approximately, you know, $10 million or whatever the numbers are, but it's all kind of a guessing game. So I think that he's probably barred from talking about that, but needless to say, I mean, judging by the way he played, by the Cavaliers play last night, he seems to be running with that deal and making Nike a lot of money and
paying dividends
and then some. You know, one of the tweets we talked about was people saying, well, Nike's probably, you know, they should be paying him more because he's going to make them more money. And we'll see if he does so in the remainder of the series.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Sonny.
And that wraps up the May 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff, And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In its recently released report on human rights practices, the U.S. Department of State found that serious human rights abuses continued in Somalia during 2015. Major human rights abuses included killings of civilians by the Al-Shabaab terrorist group, Somali security forces, and unknown assailants. Violence and discrimination against women and girls, including rape and female genital mutilation, were widespread. Civilians did not have the ability to change their government through voting in free and fair elections. Other major human rights abuses included disappearance, torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment, life-threatening prison conditions, arbitrary and politically motivated arrest and detention, denial of fair public trial, use of excessive force and other abuses in internal conflict, restrictions on freedoms of speech and press, assembly and association, religion, and forced eviction and relocation of internally displaced persons. Klan militias and Al-Shabaab continued to commit grave abuses throughout the country, including extrajudicial killings, disappearances, cruel and unusual punishment, rape, restrictions on civil liberties and freedom of movement, restrictions on non-governmental organizations and humanitarian assistance, and conscription and use of child soldiers. Al-Shabaab recruited child soldiers. According to UN assessments, trends reflected in the 2012 Human Rights Watch report continued. These included children in Al-Shabaab training camps subjected to grueling physical training, inadequate diet, weapons training, physical punishment, and religious training. The training also included forcing children to punish and execute other children. Al-Shabaab used children in combat, including placing them in front of other fighters to serve as human shields and suicide bombers. In addition, Al-Shabaab used children in support roles, such as carrying ammunition, water and food, removing injured and dead militants, gathering intelligence, and serving as guards. Amisom troops killed civilians and committed sexual abuse and exploitation, including rape of women and girls. Secretary of State John Kerry said the annual human rights report renews the U.S. commitment to promoting and protecting universal human rights, to supporting and defending civil society in its peaceful efforts to hold governments accountable, and to working with our partners to advance peace, development, human rights, and democracy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss whether there's a need for a fundamental change in U.S.-Africa relations. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests as they discuss U.S.-Africa relations next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at UpfrontAfrica.